Pull out your note outlines this morning, everybody. We're going to continue to chart our way through uncharted territory. Let me apologize for my voice. It is not pleasant to listen to this morning, and it's about that pleasant for me to be able to speak through it as well. So just trust the Lord and the Holy Spirit to work through His Word and through His servant as I seek to obey Him. Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's where we're going to be trafficking this morning. Follow along. Get out your pen or pencil. I'd like you to interact with the text as I read this passage. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over there, their hearts melted, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Just want to mention that this is, I think I'm accurate on this, first time the biblical narrator shifts to first person. We had crossed over. Isn't it interesting? Up to that point, he describes things in third person. This occurred, this occurred, this occurred. Now suddenly he speaks in first person. I don't know, as an English teacher, this is just fascinating to me. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, now look, we're back to third person. Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. Would you circle the word circumcise, please? So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised. Would you circle that? The Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised. Would you circle that word again? But all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the desert 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that He had solemnly promised their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So He raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua, what? Circle the word circumcised. They were still, circle the word uncircumcised, because they had not been, three times in one verse, rather unusual, circumcised on the way. After the whole nation had been, circle in verse 8, circumcised, they remained where they were in the camp until they were all healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, would you put a box around Jericho? The Israelites celebrated the Passover. Would you underline the word Passover? The day after the Passover, underline Passover again. That very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. And verse 13 says, now when Joshua was near Jericho. And so the whole issue of Jericho is next up. As I try to think through and process just what's taking place, has it occurred to you at this point, and I need to correct myself from several weeks ago. At this point, now that they've crossed over the river, there are only two people over the age of 40. No 50-year-olds, no 60-year-olds, no 70-year-olds. Joshua and Caleb are the only senior citizens. Have you thought about that? Everybody else had to die off, which means Everybody else except Joshua and Caleb, you're talking 2 million people, everybody else had been born during the wandering. they wandered for 40 years. I guess I'd never put that together. And so you're dealing with a bunch of 40, 30, 20-year-olds, little kids, teenagers, two senior citizens, Joshua and Caleb. We could have the next slide, please, just to give you an idea. You can see this is the Mediterranean over here. By now, you should be used to this. This is the province of Galilee. This is the Galilee up here. The Sea of Galilee empties into the Jordan River. This is the Rift Valley, lowest place on the face of the earth, comes down to the Dead Sea. Right here would be Mount Nebo. This is where Moses died. When we were there just a few weeks ago, we could see Mount Nebo. On four different occasions, Judy and I have stood on Mount Nebo, and we've looked into the Promised Land. So what we've got, they're going to cross the flooded river, which they've done, right here. Before they did that, they sent spies into Jericho who hid in the hills. After 3 days, they went back, forded the river, and here we are. So they've crossed the river, but before attacking Jericho, they're going up here. This becomes a staging area at a location called Gilgal. Gilgal. Let's start out by transitions in the book of Joshua.
Morning,
I began looking at this passage. Most commentators and preachers skip over this section. It's kind of like, you know, whatever. And they jump into the battle of Jericho. This is really important. I'm going to kind of do a jet view of this because I think what's important, and I think it's going to be important to every single person this morning, it is talking about transitions. I've themed this transforming transitions. Number one on your note outline, have you noticed the transitions at this point in the book of Joshua? Next screen, please. Big transition. Moses dies. Joshua is successor. Major transition for the people. They have never known any other leader. Major transition for Joshua. So the transition not only happens on a personal level, it also happens on a corporate level. Second transition. Up to this point, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, they're no longer going to be in the wilderness. They're in the Promised Land. Major transition. The land of milk and honey is described as. Third transition. Up to this point, they have been eating manna for 40 years. Manna and quail. Remember, frosted flakes. Now, it says, look at verse 12. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. That year, they ate of the produce of Canaan. Major transition. The menu's different. Their diet is now different. Next transition. 40 years, they've just been trying to survive. Now, it's not survival. What's going to happen in the Promised Land? You have got to possess the land. It's not going to fight it. Up to that point, they really hadn't done little, not too much. A little bit of fighting. So, finally, look at the next one. Up to this point, how had God led them? A pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. Remember, whenever the pillar would move, they would move. If it would stop, they would stop. We pointed out Wednesday night that when they would stop, they'd set up their camp. Are you aware of the fact that to do this for 40 years, they could have made the walk from Mount Nebo in about 2 weeks, which I guess I've never considered before. Some of those stops may have been 3 years. Have you thought about that? When they stopped at Canaan, wandering through the wilderness, and the pillar of fire and the cloud would stop, it may be a three-year stop. They got 40 years. Of course, you're talking 2 million people walking. Yes, you are worthy, God. 7 or 8 miles a day. However, from this point, you do not see the pillar and the cloud. Jot in your margin, 1 Kings 8:10. The next time the pillar or cloud appears is when Solomon dedicates the temple. No mention from this point on is ever made of the pillar of fire nor the cloud.
He's worthy of all
it
praise,
doesn't show
he?
Up until the dedication
Amen.
Of the temple.
You
and I it. It just gave you the reference. And what is it? 1 Kings?
Well, good morning. My
chapter
name
8,
is
verse 10.
I'm one of the pastors
now they got,
here at Beulah.
I mean, that would be easy.
Thank you so much
oh,
for
there
being
there goes
here
the fire. I guess
morning.
I follow the fire.
Welcome
stop, and I guess
here.
I stop.
Glad you are here.
However, now it's a transition.
Bulletin, please raise your hand.
Now we've got to trust in God's word.
A lot going
that's
on.
How the
so
guidance will be provided for us.
And on
what does
this
teach
this
us?
Here,
next on your note outline,
you've been here, but
please,
really
if I could have the next slide.
Yet, I would invite you to please take a minute.
Every single person in this room is dealing with a transition. You may not be aware of it, but you are.
The
truth of the matter is you're dealing with several.
So that you
simultaneously.
Can feel more connected and be
get out your cell phone. This is my cell number. I want you to text me right now.
If you
what
call Beulah,
transition
you with the connect form, please place
are you dealing with in your life right now? I can
well,
tell you some that Judy and I are dealing
week,
with. We're dealing with transitions in our health, our energy
to,
level. I'm semi-retired. I don't know what the future holds for me.
Food,
I don't know if I'm going to continue to teach, if I'm going to continue to be a pastor here. I don't know.
Thank you so much.
My mother is 90. Chances are my mom, she turns 90
also,
on January 1st. She's a New Year's baby.
Final week to collect
mom's not going to, I mean, there's going to be a major transition in our family. We're watching three sons. We're watching grandchildren go through
transitions.
We have all these transitions happening in our life all at the same time, and so do you.
We can support so many kids and celebrate.
Let me read to you
some
of the transitions that people
joy.
Are texting me right now.
That,
boom, 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 boom.
We
here
have
they come.
Our November challenge.
I'm dealing with a spouse's retirement.
Also
I'm dealing with elderly parents.
Our each one reach
I am dealing
challenge.
With a change
in, your bulletin,
in my own retirement. I am dealing with a new job. I am walking through transitions right now with high schoolers.
And they're empty. Take home a bag.
I want to have a purposeful retirement. I'm getting married soon. Isn't it interesting how all the different levels of people in this room?
To our local area.
I am, whoa, boom, boom, boom. I am dealing with trying to control my anger.
The biggest joys of my job is the youth group.
I have an unknown future.
We
are dealing with health issues.
With that, we are looking forward to a discovery.
The transition now of being so far from our grandchildren. How do we navigate retirement? I am dealing with the transition of aging parents.
So maybe this is a way for you to plug in.
My mom is 91.
You love
now I'm the caretaker
the time, or, maybe
or
the
caregiver.
Like you used to be a sponsor.
I am dealing with health issues.
We are, fundraiser on December 8th.
We are going through transitions financially.
At Beulah Missionary Church, but it's for a district quiz meet. So all,
all of us
do,
are dealing with
really
them all at the same time.
Then,
now, having said that, I think that there is value for us to look at this passage, to walk through it, because there's going
to
be some keys in here. Because everybody's in here is going through
it.
Either you are currently going through a transition, you're anticipating one, or you've just come out of a major one.
So we can send our students to discover.
And by the way, this is happening at all different levels. Or we just came through a midterm election. Country's going through transition.
In your bulletin as well.
Republican Party's going through transition. The Democratic Party's going through transition. The world is going through transitions. If you happen to live on the West Coast, people whose houses burnt, they're going
to
be going through transitions. This person just said, I'm dealing with major health issues. I am moving out on my own.
Some highlights from their weekend. So if
you could
please turn your attention to the screen.
These are big deals. Transitions in our lives. Notice
this video
the definition
to be a passive experience.
A transition, the process or period of moving from one state or condition to another.
Clap.
Let me give you some high-level principles. The first is
do
this.
So they know
transitions are a natural part of the seasons of
talking.
Life.
Please be quiet so we can hear them.
Seasons, okay? By definition, change.
Here we go.
I have got more. I was staying ahead of our leaves. We live next to a woods, and we've got a track vac. You know what that is? Pull it behind our mower.
Let's try it again.
And it vacuums up the leaves. I was staying ahead of them until this weekend.
That's better.
There are more leaves. They are almost knee-deep with snow. Oh, man. Well, I mean, every year I anticipate this transition into autumn, hoping I can stay ahead of the curve. But they just cut loose. And now I'm praying that the snow will go away, the leaves will dry, so I can vacuum them up. The problem is when they're knee-deep, the tube gets clogged up so easily. I know it's not life or death, but this is one of the transitions of the season of fall that we're dealing with right now. Do you remember the story of Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus was up there with Peter, James, and John. He became transfigured, remember? And he was in all of his glory and all of his majesty, and Peter makes the profound understatement of the century, it is good that we are here. Remember, and then he starts running around not knowing what to do. Maybe I should build a booth. Maybe we should build one for each of these people. And, you know, and the God Father speaks, this is my son, listen to him. It's a glorious, wonderful time. However, they go down the mountain. Do you want to jot in the margin? Mark chapter 9. They go down the mountain. What happens next in the story? Does anybody remember?
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Keely.
A dad walks up and goes, my son is epileptic and he's got this demon that keeps throwing him into the fire, and I came to your disciples and asked them to cast it out. Remember?
Hi, I'm Laura Serafino.
Isn't it interesting? And you will not see this huge contrast anyplace else, in my opinion, in the Bible. You've got this wonderful, glorious experience on the mountaintop, and then you've got all kinds of issues and problems in the valley. And the disciples had an inability to translate the glory of the mountaintop to the problems in the valley. That's my problem. How do you navigate transitions? How do I view the glory of His majesty when I am dealing with the day-to-day stuff in the valley? That's where you and I live. See? Life is not lived out on the mountaintop. Life is lived out in the valley. Transitions are a natural part of the seasons of life. Those students right over here, you girls are going through transitions. You're into middle school. Some of you are starting into high school.
One of the things that I learned was Jesus loved me. And
so every year you go to a different grade. You've got a different teacher.
Had to trust
those
God
of you in public schools.
When Jesus was out
in just a few years, girls, you're going to probably get married. That's going to be a major transition. And then you're going to have children. The mothers are over here going, please don't say that. You see, and then you start into the child bearing years, and then you start into the child rearing years, and then you get into the child releasing years, and then you get into empty nest, and then you get into retirement, and then some people go through the tragedy of divorce. You see, throughout life, you've got these major transitions that will continue to happen in your family. And every single person in here is walking through them at some place or another. They're a natural part of life.
He's coming on the clouds.
Churches go through transitions. Have you ever seen that happen? There's a pastoral change. Beulah Missionary Church has gone through major transitions in the last number of years. Those of you who have been around this congregation or this fellowship for 25 years, you can go back and you can say, well, I remember this pastor, this pastor, this pastor, this pastor. This church was a church of 500. This church was a church of 400. Churches go through seasons. You see, the illusion is, if we keep doing everything right, the church will always be in a season of harvest. That's not the case. Wisest guy who ever lived was a guy named Solomon. And he said that everything goes through seasons, including churches. Churches that don't adjust to neighborhoods. Churches that don't adjust to the times. And so every single church, and I've seen it happen, every church, things will not continue to remain the same. It must go through transitions. Number two, next screen. Some transitions of life we choose. Judy and I have chosen to be semi-retired. An opportunity to be senior pastor. No, we're not going to do that. What are you going to do? Maybe I'll substitute teach. It's a choice. Where are we going to live? Let's live in South Bend. You're the boys. Near our grandchildren. That was a choice. However, some transitions in life are thrust upon us. I've got heart disease. I was telling this dear couple right down here, Jan, had stents put in this transplant. I've got heart disease. It's considered now, my cardiologist says, excessive. One day it's going to win. See? I will go through a major transition. He said, without medication, without me treating this, you will have a, this is how he put it, major heart event within 12 months. Open heart surgery, stent, balloon, angioplasty, or you'll die. And so I'm a ticking bomb. By the way, so are you. You don't anticipate a death. I feel so sorry for these people. I remember watching the news last night, watching these people say, I got up this morning, I looked at my house, and now I come back, and the guy starts crying. The lion of Judah. Those dear parents in near Rochester who got up in the morning and had breakfast and took their little kids out of the school bus. They didn't sign up for that. Some transitions in life are thrust upon you. You and I will go through tragedy. At this point, it's just not your turn. One day it will be your turn. Then under this, look at the next screen. Some are because of life. They're just unavoidable. Your body changes. Your energy level changes. Your health changes. In February, I'll be 66. Be drawing Social Security. Thank you for your contribution.
That song borrows from a hymn that Paul wrote in Philippians 2. When
they are unavoidable. We must all face them one day. However, look at the next screen. Some transitions are because of decisions we or other people make for us.
And emptied himself.
I'm divorcing you.
Being found in appearance as a man, Paul writes, he humbled himself.
Somebody else made the decision.
To death,
I'm going to be texting, and so I run into your children.
But Paul reminds us that's not the end of the
story. That's a transition because of a decision someone else made that affected me.
That is above every name. That at the name
these
of Jesus,
transitions that we make or other people make can be good, but they can also be bad.
Under the earth, and every
look at the next principle.
That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory.
Some transitions.
Of God the Father.
I may have to rethink
like to
this one. Maybe all,
that indeed
but it presses your theology. Some are because of God's plan for our lives.
He died so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be called children.
Is God's plan for your life always good?
You see, 3 days later, he rose from the
yes.
grave, and that's also not
Romans 8:28. All
the
things work together for
to come when he will return on the clouds.
Good.
And we'll
by the way, the verse says,
Savior,
all things.
Everybody,
God's plan for you
not,
is good.
Jesus Christ,
second question, does
Lord,
it always feel good?
Communion today, we'll remember
no.
Not only his
see, that's where you're going to get yourself in a ditch.
his death until his second.
That's where it begins to press you.
When everything will be right.
God's plan for me is good. It doesn't always feel good.
Forward to service communion, we just like to say, parents,
does God discipline you and me? Yes, he does.
And so it's up to your
Hebrews 12:11. All discipline is painful rather than pleasant. Again, the word all. All discipline is painful rather than pleasant. It is good, but it doesn't feel good. Maybe you're going through a transition in your life right now. I've got to believe it's good, but it doesn't feel good. Number three, success or failure in life is often determined by how we handle these transitions. This is big. An inability to properly and biblically handle transitions of life will either spell your success or failure. I can give you some examples in the business world. Let me ask these high school girls down here. Girls, look at me. Does the phrase Eastman Kodak mean anything to you? They're going, Eastman Kodak. The reason is that they declared bankruptcy in 2013. How many people know what a Kodak moment is? Notice these girls aren't raising their hands. Why is Eastman Kodak Polaroid in bankruptcy? Because they never saw it coming. For your information, ladies, they used to create cameras and film. Do you know what the word film means? Are you aware of the fact that at one point in the silver industry in the United States, more silver was used for film than anything else in the United States? Guess what? Suddenly, something occurred called digital photography. And if you weren't ahead of the curve, you were in a world of hurt. Then something happened called things like Nikon, Pentax. You see, transitions happen so quickly. If you weren't able to stay current, you're gone. Have you girls ever heard of a Sears and Roebuck catalog? Okay, we got a nod out of them. They're currently in bankruptcy. Why? Because of Amazon. Are you aware of Amazon? You just want to make sure. I'm going to say a phrase, and I want to see. Watch this. Answer by a raise of hands. Finish this phrase. Well, I'm going to ask the girls over here. Girls, raise your hand. I'm putting you on the spot. You can yell at me later. Finish this phrase. You ready? It keeps a licking, but we understand. The rest of you, it keeps a licking, but keeps on ticking. You get a pass on this one. Timex wristwatches. Is there anybody in the room wearing a Timex? Raise your hand. Three. Where in the world do you guys even find those things? Amazon! We're having far too much fun this morning. Amazon. Timex is currently in bankruptcy. They made watches that were called analog with sweeping hands. But suddenly something happened called digital wristwatches. I don't even wear a watch anymore. This is not my watch. See? Timex didn't see it coming. They weren't able to make the transition. They're in bankruptcy. You're seeing it again and again and again. Why? Because of this one right here. Their business model failed. I remember when Judy and I used to rent Redbox. We'd get on Redbox or Netflix, and we would rent. And remember when an envelope would come and it'd have the DVD or CD or whatever in an envelope. And you'd watch the movie, you'd put it back in and think, this is terrific. This is the future. And then about 5 or 10 years ago, Netflix, the CEO comes out and says, this business model is not sustainable.
Took the bread,
what?
Broke it, and said, remember,
he understood. It's not going to work. Ask Blockbuster. See? Now, you're probably wondering where I'm going to go with this in terms of the text. Let's look at the next one. Here's the takeaways.
In the same way, after dinner, he took
into the text.
He said, this is the new covenant sealed with my
transitions,
whenever you drink it.
Whatever it is you're facing, they will almost always involve pain.
Let's pray together.
And time to adjust, and put in parentheses afterwards, circumcision. Interesting. You were probably wondering when I was going to get into the biblical text. Did you notice that the word circumcision or circumcised or uncircumcised is used seven times in a period of seven verses? That's purposeful. The biblical narrator is sending a message. What does circumcision have to do with? Don't answer that. It has to do with your identity in Christ. To a Jew, it represents my identity, my identification as belonging to God. Listen to what I'm going to say. One of the keys in walking through transitions is that you have got to remember your identity of who you are in Christ. Because if your identity is in what you do or what you own, or who your kids are, God's going to bring you up short on that. Isn't it interesting, on this first principle concerning circumcision, it will almost always involve pain and time to adjust. Some of the most significant transitions that you will face have to do with intimate areas of your life where no one else can see.
Regardless of what we encounter, regardless of what surprises may come or what challenges, would you remind us that
there are reasons they were circumcised at that point. It had to do with intimate areas of your life where no one else can see. Some of the transitions you're walking through are in private areas that nobody else is aware of. And one of the things that Judy and I continue to be reminded of is I have got to reestablish who I am in terms of my identity in Christ. If I'm going to navigate transitions of life,
the loss of health,
secondly,
who are grieving what it looks like the future may hold.
Transitions require us to remember our trust in God's past deliverance. If you look back at the text that you interacted with, you see the word Passover twice. Did you have a line underneath that word? Why would they celebrate the Passover? They are remembering God's past deliverance from Egypt. We remembered the Lord's deliverance of us this morning. One of the keys in navigating your transition, and by the way, that's happening in so many different levels of your life. One of those keys is remembering, I have got to keep centered on the cross. Because your circumstances are going to shift. You're going to lose people, loved ones are going to pass away, you're going to experience loss in health, in job, in finances. Things are going to get goofy. And if your dependency is on those issues, you're not going to make it. The two ways that I have got to be able to walk through transitions, A, I need to remember my identity in Christ. Secondly, I need to maintain the centrality of the cross. I talk about that a lot. One of my concerns for the evangelical church is the lack of remembering the cross of Jesus. This is not spiritual pep talk stuff. My faith is based on the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. As long as I'm here, that's what I'm going to preach from this pulpit. The third issue, watch. Transitions also demand us to live by faith, not knowing the future. Isn't it interesting? This happened in anticipation of Jericho. The very next thing that occurs was the Battle of Jericho. They're looking at as they're healing from this circumcision, they're looking up and they see this walled city thinking, holy smokes. I sure hope I get to feeling better soon, but I tell you what, that doesn't look good. You know what? That's why it's called walking by faith and not by sight. And this is the third key. One of the ways that you're going to be able to navigate through these transitions. A, I have got to remember my identity in Christ, who I am in Christ. B, I got to sustain and maintain the centrality of the cross, his deliverance of me. And number three, as I anticipate an unknown future, I have got to walk by faith and not by sight. As we do that, these transitions, as difficult, hard, and painful as they are, they can be managed. The Lord's strength, the Lord's help. Sound like a plan? Father, I pray for so many people who texted me this morning, those who were not able to do that. Father, people who are concerned and worried about health, marriage, retirement, finance, job, kids, future, past, present. Lord, help us as we've looked at this message to realize I have got to reestablish the Christ. Remembering the cross as most important. You have delivered us in the past. You have no equal. I can trust you for an unending. Lord, I pray that each one of us will be able to navigate hard transitions of life. Joy.
Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name.
I'll stand for the blessing.
The name of Jesus Christ.
Indeed, may you have joy that's overflowing and nothing can stand against.
What a powerful name,
God, you cannot see as you walk through the transition.